This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's go over to another case. The pain in this case, the pain that we're talking about the Duggars. I got to get my graphic up back over here.
Oh, there we go. It's another Duggar day.
Oh my God! Yeah, it is another Duggar day. Day. These people haunt me in my nightmares now.
Especially live too close to you too. Oh, I know. What are the odds?
I know. This is such a consuming case because it's so angering and it's like so. All of it's so completely preventable. Ignorant human beings hiding behind religion to do horrible shit that's the Duggars. The pain in this one cuts deep, especially if you're a parent. A 14-year-old girl finding the courage to speak up about having horrible things happen to her at just 9 years old during what should have been a safe family beach trip. Now watching her accused abuser walk free on bond while the whole Duggar machine spins around in damage control. Joseph is facing serious Florida lewd and lascivious charges, and both he and Kendra have been hit with multiple Arkansas counts of child endangerment and false imprisonment. Families everywhere are feeling that familiar gut punch. How do you trust the perfect families you grew up watching when the cracks keep showing? Because all along they weren't the perfect family if you were actually paying attention. And the biggest question hanging over all of it, when does the cycle finally break? Well, I guess when people admit there's something wrong, and when people with inside the problem can't admit there's a problem, it won't. It will never be fixed. It will just keep repeating itself over and over and over like it's doing right now. A lot of you guys have a lot of questions about this. We have a lot of opinions about this. Obviously, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. This is our opinion, blah, blah, blah. Allegedly, this is an opinion piece. So there you go. There, just assume that on everything we talk about going forward, okay? Here's one of the questions that we got from you guys on this. This is from Sarah on Instagram. Tony says, I'm a mom of three, and this one has me sick to my stomach. Again, because we're all putting ourselves in this sort of situation. How does something like this even happen on a family vacation with everyone around? I keep thinking about my own kids playing with relatives. Is there any way to spot this before it's too late? Or are we all just one blind trust away from the same nightmare? Well, if the last name is Duggar, here's the thought. Don't have him sitting on a couch with your young daughter and a blanket covering the two of you. Might be, but seriously. Robin, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, question all behavior. Think about this, you know, for all the things that we just talked about in the first block about how to have these great open communications and transparency with your kids, and then being able to see wobbles in behavior, same thing here. You would have spotted this as a parent way out in front with red flags waving, with the amount of control that they were exercising. And I'm gonna tweak what you said a little bit, Tony, about, you know, hiding behind religion. Yes, by cherry picking out of what they wanted, because that's exactly, they would cherry pick passages from the Bible to rationalize their abhorrent behavior of control, and most importantly, that all these cults have in common, control over women and the narrative that they want to present it. And so when you have that kind of control, it gives a rationalization to every single behavior that everyone sees. Because even, you know, I just got done, I know you did too, reading Amy Duggar King's book.
Yeah.
If it didn't get authorized to be said and shared by the kingpin, it wasn't allowed, because then you're just stirring up the brethren. So seeing this kind of behavior on a couch between anyone, I don't care if they're the same age or not, you just call out to behavior. People need to be a little more courageous when calling out inappropriate behavior, or when things, hey, because you know what? If nothing's going on, people are like, hey, oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, in other words, what I'm always doing every single day, every single minute when I see something that could be potentially deceptive or an agenda. I love when I talk about deception detection. I kind of shifted away from, I'm not trying to detect deception. I'm trying to uncover hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't like to be called liars and that shields go up, but there's hidden agendas. And so if someone has a hidden agenda under a blanket, hey, I need some transparency here. Let's just take the blanket off, because you know what? It's my fault. I'm a dad. Things make me feel a little uncomfortable. Let's have some transparency. Now, what you should see is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. They should then double down back on the transparency, the apologies. I'm so sorry. It wasn't my intent. And then should be all fine. But if you see people getting defensive, if they're rationalizing behavior, oh, nothing's going on here. Oh, really? That means I'm doubling down on get the fuck away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it makes it so sick. I mean,
tempo. Always one of tempo.
One of the most disturbing phrases that's come out of this is Joseph allegedly saying, I believe it's in a police report. I don't remember exactly where it falls in this minutia of bullshit. But there is something where the effect was, he had impure intentions or impure thoughts.
That's you. That's,
I mean, just. All using the word impure intentions and the word 9-year-old in the same sentence. What the fuck? I mean,
that's a predator. It's a predator rationalizing behavior. Tony, it's a predator rationalizing behavior. That is all that is. And so that's why predators flock to organizations like IBLP. Because they have a script of language to use to rationalize the predatory behavior over women.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that. But children, that's exactly what they do, because they rationalize behavior and because now they make it a sin to not give forgiveness. And so it's almost like they seek out opportunities to share my abhorrent behavior, my moral failings, because it's on you. They start victim blaming, saying you need to forgive me for resolution. And redemption, because then I can have a ministry and you can pay me for my ministry.
Exactly.
And you're not allowed to divorce me and you're not allowed to leave me, because then you're stirring up the brethren. See, I'm starting, it's, you know, insane. What's really sick, I'm getting the friggin' language down. It's sick. But that's how they're able to hide this. And as we've learned in the fantastic works I read by both Jill Duggar and then Amy on The Cousin, you know, the whole Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, all these people, unless you actually have a victim come forward and say what was done to them personally by specific so-and-so, and even in a lot of these cases without evidence or someone corroborating it, it's not going to be a conviction. These cult cultures of abusing people take root, because then what sick MFer in the world doesn't want to come to that group and organization, because they can be who they are and abuse women so poorly, so obsessively. Anyway, I'm on
what makes me sick about that is I mean, obviously this is the concept, but the fact that an adult could say that sentence out loud and somehow think it's going to land in some way, shape, or form, and it's not going to be totally just enough. Like a screaming of like, well, that you've told me all I need to know right there. The fact that you're saying that out loud like that, as if you're downplaying this, it's something not quite as bad as, like, it's just, how disconnected from reality can you possibly be? The answer is quite a bit, and Amy King Duggar really spells it out beautifully in her book, Holy Disruptor, which is, I highly recommend getting it. I'm just finishing it, and Amy's going to be on the show here. I've been talking with her off the air, and I got to say, I knew that the Duggar situation was shitty and dirty and sick, and you feel like you want to bathe in Purell, like, eternally after watching it. It's so much worse. than I even thought. I mean, it's just, it's so gross. It's so sick. It's so disturbing. It's all about isolation. It's about control, and it's about shame. And yeah. and
the fear of falling outside the umbrella.
And fear, all under the umbrella, and it's all under one umbrella. And if you go outside of that, you can do basically, you know, the people who hold the umbrellas can basically do anything they want with them. And if you want to get out from under that umbrella, good luck. They're like, you're witchcraft. It's witch. You're a witch. You're evil. It's bad. It's the devil. Anybody who's telling you differently, it's the enemy coming in. No, it's not. It's actually reality coming in to shine a giant light on the evils that are the IBLP and the religion of the Duggars, in my opinion.
You know, what's kind of crazy, Tony, is I was doing some research and I was trying to actually come up with the term scientifically from the DSM for someone who actually has an obsessive need for control. You know what? The only thing they came up with, control freak. I mean, there's a technical term of it. You know, these
really?
People are such utter control freaks that this is all. This is what they have to have. It's the ultimate control they're trying to exercise. And it's just the amount of.
I mean, it's a weird. I've been trying to come up with a word. It's weaponized religiosity with a side of malignant narcissism. I mean, it's malignant religious narcissism. I don't know if that's a thing.
And you know what really took hold too during this as we're watching this from play out from the beginning, as I, you know, Jill, I thought really did a good job in her book kind of.
I got to read that one yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Going from beginning and then through, you know, so here's Jim Bob, the way he grew up, and you find out about what he went through a lot through.
Horrible.
Yeah. Right. Through Amy's vision because of her mother being the sister of Jim Bob. Mm-hmm. You kind of see how he gravitated towards IBLP because of the amount of control he wanted to have in his life, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you can see that his intentions were so good to do this, but then when you saw that old powerful dollar come creeping in there, man, you see that entire intent from the outside in. And when you are in an organization, in a system that gets rid of loving critics, like a lot mm-hmm. of people's loving critic in their life is their spouse, their partner in life. They're the ones that actually get to weigh in and say, hey, you're doing a little nutter things here. My wife is mine. I mean, every opportunity in my life that comes along, she always says, my loving critic says, why are you? Why are you special? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, makes you pause. So like, all right, maybe they are trying to do this, maybe this. So it's a partnership, you know, but when you are actually in a system that creates no partnerships, one authority at the top with no loving critic, and you start falling in love with the almighty dollar because TLC comes and says how special you are, and then you rationalize your behavior like I now have a ministry.
Yeah.
I get to hold everyone's behavior, and that my children get they are resources for me. They don't get to earn their own money. It's my money for the ministry. I mean, oh my God.
And I'm doing the best thing for them because I know what's best. And I was failed by the people that were above me. So, but I'm doing it of a pure intent. I can see it. I mean, I can look at this at the greater picture, and I can see how the recipe was made. Yep. And I don't know anything about what, you know, I mean, I have no idea how anything off, you know, the air of how Jim Bob was to his children. And I'm not accusing him of anything. But from what we understand and what's been publicly said about his own upbringing, it was horrible. It was a bit filled with abuse, isolation, control, shame. I mean, I get where someone walks out of that sort of environment and starts their life and they're searching for something, but all they know are extreme levers of control as being the only way to function and the only way to handle things. So it's, in my opinion, it was almost like he went out into the world and repeated the cycle, but in a very different way. He created the atmosphere of isolation, control, and shame under the guise of love. And I believe he thought it was love. It probably is love to him in whatever version it is, and how he believes it is. I don't believe like he set out going, we're going to create a bunch of predators here. Nobody does that. I don't think that's what anybody in that group does. But inadvertently, through their short-sightedness and their lack of reps in the world and how human beings interact in psychology and all of that, the lack of reps or consideration or wanting to learn anything outside of what's already in your brain, he made the recipe for this. He made the recipe for his kids to go out and become predators in the world. By the way he was raised, by the isolation, by not teaching them shit, by not teaching them respect for women, the way that I guess I think should be taught, not just that they're, you know, to be cooking and cleaning and making babies, which is essentially allegedly how he viewed the world of women. And unfortunately, he has a home full of women and nieces that are, he has a niece that's a woman too, and very much against college, education, going out, blazing your own way, having any sort of autonomy or sense of how to deal with the world. The recipe was there. And at the end of the day, there's consequences for your actions, Jim Bob. You built this world. This is a recipe you followed to raise these kids. And now guess what? The recipe went bad and it tastes like shit. And everybody's spitting it out going, my God, what's wrong with these people? And you're like, well, pray more. Let's read some more Psalms. Let's use it as a... No, shut the fuck up. Admit what you did that was wrong and try to correct it so their grandkids don't repeat the same freaking cycle. But, it's just, it's more dig in. It's love bomb those who are going to expose us and circle the wagons and hope to God nobody figures out what the hell's happening. Newsflash, everybody already has.
Yeah, and you hit the key word, correct. When you have systems, I've said it on the show before, Noah Havari wrote the book Sapiens, Homo Deus, and Nexus. Nexus is the evolution of communication in Homo sapiens over our entire span of existence. And as the anthropologists and research will tell you, we are only successful as a species when we can actually self-correct. And when we have self-correcting documents like the Constitution, you can put amendments in there, as flawed as things are, but it's fine. But when you can do the after-action report, when horrendous things go sideways and happen, you then do an after-action report, you have lessons learned, and then you correct the rules, processes, and procedures, the standard operating procedures, the documents of IBLP and how you exist, and what that structure is like. When you see a flaw in a structure, you should be self-correcting to make an amendment so it doesn't happen again. They are doubling down on crazy, stupid nutter crap, and that's why they has two in the same family. At least one convicted, the other accused, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and let's see how the numbers keep going.
As the organization was founded by a super nutter with, I think it's 30 accusations?
Allegations, yeah. Never charged with anything, never,
Yeah, that's why I said accusations.
He's waiting out his days right now.
I'm sure those 30 girls made it all up.
Yeah, the wrath can't come soon enough. Bring the Grim Reaper on for Bill Gothard. One other... I saw a comment here I wanted to.
I know we've had some good ones.
Yeah,
today.
This one here. Jim Bob has a creepy amount of interest in his kids' S lives. They literally give them instruction pamphlets on their one. They do. Yeah. It's part of the wisdom books of Gothard. And I was reading one the other day. It's the one about S, and it's so insane. I mean, and number one, it's written by someone who's never been married, never had kids, but he's telling you everything of how to do all this stuff. And it's 1,000% written. You'd think Brian Koberger wrote it.
Hey, I mean,
or the 40-year-old virgin, basically, because it's so operational. And there's so many unnecessary things that are talked about in there. It's very much procedure for impregnating your wife. It's just basically all it is. Go through this. It's nothing about her enjoyment of it. It's just like accomplish the mission, basically. And then there's stuff about how about for the men to enjoy, but nothing about her whatsoever. I mean, it's so screwed up. Actually, next week I'm doing a 5-part series. Our cult series next week is about Gothard's workbooks. We're gonna go through and break down in 5 different episodes, as much as we can in the workbooks, because it's insane. It's just, I mean, it's like, it's comedy gold at the end. If it weren't so sad, it is comedy gold, I'm telling you. But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, how weird and creepy too. They're grown ass adults and you're giving your kids pamphlets about how to do it.
Control. I mean, yes. it's and it starts at, you know, it's interesting too, just researching, they, and that's why it's a great question for Amy. I can't wait to ask her about this too, because lying is a mortal sin to the IBLP. Mm-hmm. Yet Jim Bob repeatedly lied and misdirected about what was going on in his own household with definitely Josh, who was in prison for it. And
we couldn't remember. And then the judge said, get out of my courtroom, you idiot.
Right. But there's so many times where he would downplay, where he'd rationalize, where he'd obfuscate. I mean, he just, and yet when put in, at the greater context, they rationalize that as saying, well, it's for the greater good. So if the greater good is being served by the top of the umbrella, then it's okay. So again, just the rationalization of, you know, it's funny, they're so selective with what sins they pay attention to in their own doctrine.
It's very much, you know, it's like someone saying, you got an excuse for everything. They do. They have a safeguard for, like, and an excuse for every horrible piece of behavior done by the men, because essentially the men are infallible at the end of the day. Yes. As long as they say, whoopsie, then everybody has to forgive them. And if you don't forgive them, then it's on you. You're the bad person. You're the witch. You're not following God's umbrella of words.
Right. And then if you don't do that, if you stir up the brethren, you could fall outside the umbrella of protection and bad things could happen. God could take away your car. He could blow up your house.
Well, I know. That's what I love is the ominous, the like bad things can happen. I mean, it's such like a 8-year-old way of thinking about shit, isn't it?
Then when these poor kids, you know, when you grow up in this and then you're told that you have to have the sweet voice, you can only talk this way because they're not allowed to have any negative emotions. They cannot voice any negative emotions. And you're like, it is the most control you'll ever see anywhere in the world. They're trying to control emotions, they're controlling your sex life, they're controlling absolutely everything about you. And if you say anything about it, then you're outside the umbrella of protection, and then bad things can happen. God's going to smite you and blow up your house, take your car, take all your money. It's just like, you can't get me. That's how these things work, man.
It is. It's insane. It's sickening. And far more power to the folks who are able to get the hell out of there and shed light on
a lot
this.
Of bravery to do that.
Amy King Duggar is Duggar King is going to be on the show here with us in the next couple of days. So press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. And we're going to have an in-depth conversation, the three of us, about what the hell's going on.
Brave young woman.
Very much so. Do check out her book. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's move over to another case the Duggars, Joseph Duggar, once a face of wholesomeness in reality TV, now faces a life felony in Florida for the alleged repeated of a 9-year-old girl in 2020. As of now, he is scheduled for a formal arraignment in Bay County, but the illegal exposure doesn't stop at the state line. A search of the couple's Arkansas home, triggered by the Florida arrest, reportedly uncovered exterior mounted locks on children's bedroom doors, leading to 8 misdemeanor charges against not only him, but his wife, Kendra. And now their 4 children are in state custody, not even with the family, not even with the Duggars. The state said, yeah, we don't think so. You're going over here. You're not going to be around them anymore. Bob Mata, defense attorney, is here with us to help break this down. I want to enter this conversation into the harsh reality of what this family is facing, specifically Joseph and Kendra, and speaking specifically to Kendra, if she's watching, if somebody's watching that knows her, we know many people are. When your husband is facing these sort of charges, he's allegedly already admitted to them on tape. it ain't looking good. It ain't looking good at all. And she's got her own charges against her for, I believe, endangerment with the locks on the doors. Kids aren't in her custody. If she has any interest in, I don't know, being a mom, having her children by her side ever again and not being in the custody of someone else, as a defense attorney, would you advise her to divorce this man immediately?
Yeah.
Okay. Kendra, there you go. There's your legal advice. All you need to know. And Flip, if you have any interest in having your children around you ever again.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Have a good night.
Bob's delivery.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the only way out as far as I see it. You know, and like, look, certain people have certain feelings about rats and snitches, but you know what? We as a species have just that it's innate in us. The, mm-hmm. you know, the survival thing is,
yes.
And when it comes down to it, when it's right there in front of you and you're charged with that decision of, oh my God, what do I do in that moment? You know, we're typically going to lean towards preservation. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. what we do as a people, you know? So yeah, I mean, I think her only way out of this in terms of, you know, being able to kind of walk away with this intact as best she can. You know?
I mean, child, the courts are going to look at this and they're going to make a determination at some point whether or not she's fit to have her children with her again.
100%, man. This is a big problem, T.
I mean, let's, for those who don't know, like Kendra, what sort of things might they take into consideration there, Bob? I'm certainly, it's probably not how many IBLP workbooks one may have studied or whatever Jim Bob may have said over a chicken dinner. I'm going to guess it might go to things a lot more meaningful than that.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna try to get into the, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts of it, you know, in terms of what, you know, what was her hand in all this, mm-hmm. you know, because knowledge in these cases is what kills you if you're a defendant, you know, even mm-hmm. if you're not the one who's doing the deeds, if you knew about it, if you helped facilitate it, if you knew about it and didn't stop it from happening, you become complicit.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're complicit in it and with these kind of charges, people have very, very low tolerance. You know, when they view somebody as somebody who was in a position to stop something from happening mm-hmm. and then they chose not to do it. And beyond that, it appears that maybe she went beyond that. Where she helped facilitate it. I mean, the locks on the doors, man, are not, you know, like
not good.
Not good, man.
Not good. I mean, and here's another thing that I want to. And I'm sorry, Robin. I
no, I know, no. I keep
jumping
listening today, man. I'm listening today.
Yeah,
I'm
good. You know, it's another thing, and what we're learning within the IBLP, that's the religion that the Duggars are a part of, that so many things are handled in-house, under the umbrella, as they like to say. And if someone has knowledge of someone doing these sort of things to a child, they decide, you know what, we're not going to report this to the police. We're just going to handle this in-house. We've speculated on this about the family having knowledge of this and then it being influenced or pressured or coerced in one way or another, not to go to the authorities. That looks like that might be going on, in my opinion, allegedly. That's an interesting aspect to it. But what about her specifically? What if she knew? What if she had knowledge that this happened to a family member of her own and nothing was done? And she continued to have the children in the homes, because these allegations go back several years. These go back to like 2020, so it's like 6 years ago. If she knew that her husband had allegedly done these sort of things with that person who's that close to her and her own family, and she continued to not report anything and continue to have her own children around this man, her husband, their father, with that knowledge, I'm going to guess Child Protective Services aren't going to look at that and go, oh, you seem to make good choices. Seem like a great place for the kids. Here they are. Have them back.
Is that to me or to Robin?
That's to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it falls into what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that thing where jurors in particular are not going to give somebody a pass on that.
No.
No, mothers on that jury are not going to give somebody a pass on that, because mothers are like, you know, you're charged with being the mama bear. Like you are the one who, for all intents and purposes, is expected to protect your children at all costs. And if that means, you know, because the reality of a marriage is there is no blood between the husband and the wife. The blood is between the children and the parent. And that typically should take precedent, I would think. You know what I'm saying? Your loyalty has to lie. If you're in that unenviable position of having to make a choice, you're going to choose the kids. And that's how most people think, especially parents, you know, ultimately at the end of the day. So how that's going to play out is not good. It's a really, really tough position for her to be in. And, you know, the fascinating thing, which has you guys sucked so deep in this rabbit hole, is how does the cult in and of itself play into it in terms of the mental side of it, the psychological side of it, you know, because it goes beyond just a husband and wife relationship. You know, there's much more to it. There's so much at play in this thing that you can't ignore it, you know, in terms of decisions that were made and things that were done or not done. You know, there's a lot there to peel the layers back on the onion.
So Bob, do you think that Kendra, in these circumstances, with her defense attorney, would be able to play, I came up with the term as I'm thinking about this, the NDA defense? Because we're talking with Amy yesterday, it hasn't aired yet, but, and we've read it in all the books and everything. Jim Bob has, you know, non-disclosure agreements fallen out his ass. I mean, he lays down NDAs for family members. He lays them down for everyone because he just wants to maintain control of that narrative. So is there any way that Kendra would be able to say it was all orchestrated by the Grand Imperial Poobah, Jim Bob, and I feared for my well-being and my family's well-being because he made me sign these NDAs? Is there any defense there that she can claim and push off on him?
I mean, you can put it out there. Nobody's buying it. NDAs aren't worth the paper they're written on. They're
right, but I know it's not worth the paper, but in her perception under that kind of control of that cult. Right.
I understand what you're saying. That goes back to what I was talking about with kind of like all the other factors at play. And ultimately, at the end of the day, are you going to be able to sell that to a juror? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, there was this document and he used them like swords all over the place. And, you know, they were the shield, and, you know, that put her in a certain mindset that she was trapped, for lack of a better term, in terms of being able to speak out about it. And, you know, ultimately, is that going to be compelling to a jury? Maybe. I mean, maybe it is, but you're going to really have to get into the psychology of cults then, you know, because, again, this is beyond just a husband and wife relationship.
You're going to really have to show.
To me, it's akin to grooming. You know, like people just don't understand the psychology of grooming the way that they should.
Right.
And it's absolutely incumbent upon the state to put on, you know, psychologists and people that are going to be able to explain to the jury in a way that makes them understand how this can happen psychologically to somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you put all common sense to the side and you're operating in a way that normal people just wouldn't operate, because everybody looks at these situations and is like, what? I don't understand it. How, like, I would never, number one, join a cult. Number two, if I do some shit, like, you know, like that's what everybody says in their own mind, you know, but when you're thrust into the situation, you're in it. It's a different thing.
Yeah. You're not thinking you're in a cult. You're not thinking you're signing an NDA for a cult at that moment in time. And it's being presented very differently right now. The insight, and we had a great conversation with Amy King Duggar yesterday. It'll be airing here on the channel tomorrow. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. But some of the insight that she gave, I said, what do you think is going on behind the scenes right now with Kendra, with the family? Because she's in the throes of the love bombing of the Duggars right now. And they are... likely around her right now. You know, we got you. We're going to help. I mean, we can hear it in the jail calls, the sick, bizarre jail calls that have been released between the two of them. And they're likely promising her a lot of things to keep her in the fold, to keep her from going out and seeking individual counsel outside of who the Duggars decide to hire, who failed them already on Josh. Let's get him. He's worked out well. Sure, he's a lovely attorney, but not for this matter. When you have that sort of environment still surrounding this woman and she's still choosing to be a part of it, the environment that seems to have harbored these folks for so long, if you were to speak to Kendra directly and advise her as an attorney of, okay, if the interest here, which I don't know, I'm trying to think of what would inspire me. What would be my main goal if I was in this situation? It'd be to see my kids again. It'd be to have my kids in my custody. Everything else, everybody else can fuck
and stay
off.
Out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else can F the
well, it starts
off.
With that one.
I want to have my kids back. And I hope that that's the carrot that's on the stick in front of her. I hope that that's what's motivating her as a parent. I would hope. If that is the goal, what would you say to her? What would you say, how she needs, what she needs to do, what steps she needs to take, who she needs to be surrounding herself with and not surrounding herself with to achieve the goal of getting those kids back? What does she need to do, Bob?
She needs to basically come clean, you know, because ultimately in terms of losing those children permanently, it's not going to be in a criminal court. You know, that's going to be in a family courtroom, family law courtroom, and you're going to have a family law judge on there, and you're going to have guardian ad litems that are involved in the case that whose only representation interest is what's in the best interest of the children. And she's got a real uphill battle. Mm-hmm. Like, she just does. Like, if you're the state in this case, you're trying to sell her on the concept that she can get back with her kids.
Yeah.
The reality is, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Like that, that's just the reality of it. And frankly, it should be the reality of
yeah.
it. But man, like you kind of made the comment off, like, you know, off the cuff, but it so goes to the heart of the psychology of it. When you're in it, you're not calling yourself a cult. No. That's what we on the outside right. looking in call it. You know, when you're in it, you don't, that's not the way you're thinking about it. You know what I mean? And that really
when
goes
you're in it, you're on the righteous path to heaven and everyone else is going to hell.
Exactly.
And so, the second part of that question I'm curious about, Bob. So she's got an uphill battle for her to get her kids. What's the battle look like for the 18 other members of the family being able to get those kids? So she still has access to them. Good or bad?
If you're asking me if I was sitting on the bench in family court, I wouldn't put him anywhere near any of those people. But that's and I am one not to take children away from their parents unless it's required. Mm-hmm. And that would include extended family. And if the extended family is shown to be complicit in any way, like turning a blind eye, and again, it's so hard in this case because of the mindset of that thing that you were just talking about, Robin, that, you know, they were doing things because in their mind, it was leading to the path that they felt that they needed to be on in order to get where they needed to be when their life came to an end. Right. And I mean, it's like, that's a real thing for some people.
Yeah.
You know? You see it for, you know, all the time in the Mormon religion, and it's like more and more and more of these cases are coming up where it's like the Mormons are just unhinged. And I don't want to,
not even Mormon.
Right. You know, but,
extreme belief systems is where you see it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, well, where you're seeing it a lot is in the Mormon religion.
Yes,
I'm not training like a broad.
The FLDS side, the fundamentalist side.
Right. Right. You know, it's like you just, and it's that mindset that is so just built into their minds through years and years, probably since birth, of indoctrination to that this is the way that it is, and them not having the ability to be able to kind of really communicate with the outside world to have a thought that, well, maybe what I've been taught isn't right or there's another way to think about it. So I don't know, man, with the extended family, it's like you're in the same playpen, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know,
Oh yeah. But I was curious just because, you know, when the Duggars seemingly have so much control of that community because of donations, because of the relationships everyone has with each other, because of the church, all these things, you know,
because people like being close to celebrity.
I mean, in order for them not to have an influence, you got to get outside the jurisdiction. You got to be in a different court system. I mean, so what's the likelihood of that happening? So you can actually get some objectivity. So people can make really healthy decisions for those kids. Otherwise, because I'm fearful that it's just going to be decided by the inside guys. And it's just going to, so, all right, Kendra doesn't get her kids, but you know, the family still get the kids. So that's my concern.
It's not always that way though. You know, and like where it gets interesting is, you know, say for instance, you have a case wherein there's been a homicide involving a mother and a father, right? Mm-hmm. And depending on who's the one who was the actor, meaning the person who did the killing and who was the victim, you know, you have those situations where you're talking about and there's children left over. And then it becomes the problem of figuring out where the kids are going to go. And you know, typically common sense is going to dictate it's going to go to the victim's family, as opposed to, you know, the perpetrator's family. And when I'm talking about like grandparents, you know, but it's not that simple because, you know, the grandparents aren't necessarily, you know, they're that guilt by association thing that tends to take place. Well, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree type thing is not always the case. So, I mean, it's just going to have to be, you hope, because you don't want children to become wards of the state. Right.
No,
I know. And I say it, and people in the comments are saying it too. You know, we've just covered so many cases in the last couple of years where child protective services failed.
It's a nightmare.
And, you know, and that's my concern is for the kids on this.
It's 100%. And it's a legitimate concern. I mean, I guess what you'd want to happen is find some relatives, some blood relatives that maybe weren't in it. You know, that we're on the outside.
Give him to Amy. give him to cousin Amy. I mean, throwing poor Amy under the bus.
You put a lot of heat on there, Robin. I'm sure.
She's too awesome.
she might be down for it, though. You know, but I mean, like that's the type of person you're looking for if you're going to try to keep it in the family. You know, you got to look outside of the inner circle, the sanctum, and say, all right, well, this is going to be the best choice. And, you know, but you need a willingness, obviously, from that end. But, yeah, it's a sad case in a lot of different ways. You know,
it really is. It is. It's a lot of so much failure, and so much control. All by people very misled on what they think their intents were. It's so disturbing. All right. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Don't miss that interview with Amy King Duggar. It's going to be on the channel. It's dropping Wednesday. Wednesday in the evening, right? Is that right, Todd? I think it's in the
8 p.m.
Yep. 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Watch it. It's awesome.
Make an appointment to do so.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and check it out. It's we're going to be dropping it for the next 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all three parts, and Monday the full thing will be dropping, so do check that out. Bob Mata, check it out, Defense Diaries, wherever you get podcasts, and on YouTube, and Buried. I was getting to it. You beat
Thank
me
you.
To it.
Thank
I was
you,
just going to say, and Buried. And Buried. Also available wherever you get podcasts, the John Wayne Gacy story. Get deep into that like only Bob can, with only the tapes Bob has. Oh my God. It is such an amazing podcast. Highly recommend checking that out. So do check that out. Robin's latest book. It is available wherever books are sold. It's Not All About Me. Highly recommended. Buy it for Joseph Duggar behind bars. If you'd like, it would be helpful. Or really any of them that are still there in the cult. Okay. Until next time, for Robin, for Todd, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.